Have another 4 seconds. Numbeis Amid Beis, the Mishnah. Hamikadosh Bechalkoi, Bein Kachim Kadoshim, Bein Kachim Kalim, Einim Kadoshis. The rule is, a person does not own his carbon. Now the Gemara will explain when that is true. But the simple explanation of the Mishnah is that a Kayan receives Katos Asham Kachim Kadoshim to eat, or he receives Chazav Ishaik, he receives the part of the animals of a Shlomim and a Taida, or as the Gemara according to Rashi will explain, the owner receives Shlomim and Taida to eat, it's not his. He has a right to eat it, but he is not the owner. And therefore, when he gives it to a lady, he's not giving her anything of value. He's not giving her anything of value. Now, even though, in essence, the bottom line is, he's letting her eat it, so he's giving her the pleasure of eating it. Why is that different? Why is that different than saying, I will speak to you, to the officer, to the king? And that's considered a pleasure. So why isn't this considered a pleasure? So Taisa says the big aside. Taisa says, because over there, you could charge for the effort. Here, you're not allowed to charge for letting her eat. It's even though you're the one that's inviting her to join you for your chatas meal or your shlomim meal, let's say shlomim because chatas a woman can't eat, shlomim meal, you're inviting her to join you, right? So she's eating, she's getting hanah from supper. It's not called you giving her hanah because you're not allowed to charge anything for that. It's something that you have no right to charge for, and therefore it's not considered giving her money. It's a big insight in Tysus, because the bottom line is she enjoys supper. She saved money. She received food. But it's not your food. You gave her somebody else's food, even though you decided to give it to her. But since it's something you can't charge for, it's not considered like you gave her anything. Yes, doctor?
I believe the term may be fungible, but that's not... You can marry a lady, you can be mikdash lady, if you're... An Adam Chashev by accepting a gift. Can you charge her to accept the
yes.
gift?
Yes. The Maestro Sheni, Bein B'Shagig, Bein B'Mezid Lo Kiddush. Divrei Rav Meir. This is another halach of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says when a person separates Maestro Sheni, he is not the owner of his Maestro Sheni. He has the right to eat it. He can take it to Yerushalayim to eat it. He can redeem it, take the money to Yerushalayim. But it's not his money. It doesn't belong to Hegdish, per se. It belongs to an entity called Meister Sheni. It's not his. It's Mammon Gevaya. It's Hashem's money, Meister Sheni, who allows the owner or anybody he invites to eat it. But it's not his. He's not the owner. He's not giving anything of his when he invites the lady. Bebe Zagig, whether he did it by mistake, Bebe Mezit, like Yiddish. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. B'shagig, I agree with you, and the Gemara is going to explain why. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, you own your Maestro Sheni. You are the boss of your Maestro Sheni. You can use it to acquire things. This is your money. Therefore, if you give it to a lady, she's Mukadeshas. Now, why B'shagig Loi Kiddush? So I'll cheat, and I'll say to Gemara. And the Gemara explains, because the lady, had she known it's Maestro Sheni, would never have agreed, at least this is one shot in the Gemara, there's two shots, would never have agreed to accept it. Who wants the tircha to schlep to Yerushalayim? You give her a basket of apples, of let's say of kernels of wheat, right? It's wonderful. And then she hears it's Maestro Sheni that you can't eat it out of Yerushalayim. So, you know, I could do without. And she did not know it was Maestro Sheni, so she never agreed. So therefore, it's like Yiddish. That's how the Gemara will explain according to one explanation. Now, here we go to the next one, which is much more complicated, which the Gemara will spend a lot more time on. Ube Hegdish, B'mezit Kiddish, Ube Shagig Le Kiddish. By Hegdish, if he gives her Hegdish, this is not a carbon. This is Bedek Abayis. A guy donated a table to Hegdish. The table belongs to Hegdish. He goes and takes this table that belongs to Hegdish, and he gives it b'mezid to the woman for kedushin. So a mayor says the kedushin works. and she's married to him. And b'shoigig, because by mistake, the kedushin does not work. Now the Gemara will have multiple shatim, two shatim, and why b'shoigig it doesn't work. The chiddush of Rav Meir is, and I might as well speak it out here, because we're going to be talking about this a lot, probably next week. And that is, Rav Meir says a big yisoid, that usually we assume, and this is the understanding of the Gemara throughout Shas, that what happens by Hegdish is as follows. Somebody has an item of Hegdish, a table. Now there's a halacha called Me'ilah. And I want to explain this. I want to take a few moments to explain this. We're going to be dealing with this a lot. There's different ways that a person can do Me'ilah. The way we always assume in Shas, there are three ways that a person can do Me'ilah, but we're only going to be discussing two of them. One is he has pleasure from the item. It's an item of Hegdish. Thank you very much. It's an item of Hegdish. And he uses it. He has pleasure. He eats on the table. He has pleasure from the item. Right? So he uses the item and he has pleasure from the item. That is one way of Me'ilah. The other way of Me'ilah is he gives it to somebody. Think, right? He gave the table to somebody. Now, the understanding, the default understanding throughout Shas, is Me'ilah only happens b'shegig. The rule called Me'ilah, which requires a person to pay Hegdish back and pay a 25% surcharge and bring a carbon asham, is only if he did it b'shegig. If he did it b'mezid, there's no Me'ilah. What happens by Me'ilah is, the item becomes chulin. Very important. The default option throughout Shas is that when a person commits Me'ilah, which the Webster's translation of Me'ilah is, then he did it b'shoigig. The mezid, it's not Me'ilah. If he did it b'shoigig, the item becomes chulin. That's what happens when he gives somebody an item b'hegdish b'shoigig. So Reuven donated a table to Hegdish. And then, by mistake, he forgot that it was Hegdish's. He thought it was his table. He gave it to Shimon as a present. He committed Me'ilah. The table becomes Chulin. Reuven owes Hegdish money. He's Ivor Me'ilah with all its consequences. But the bottom line is that the item turns into Chulin. If he doesn't bemaze it, there's no Me'ilah. And when there's no Me'ilah, the item does not turn into Chulin. That means if Reuven took a table that he knew was Hegdish and gave it to Shimon, the table remains Hegdish's. Reuven is chai of Misa B'dei Shemayim for doing it b'mezid, but it doesn't affect the status of the table. Again, let me go through these rules again because it's going to be Negeya next week multiple times. There's two ways, there's a third way we're not going to get into. But there's two ways to commit Me'ilah. First, decide. Every word Me'ilah means shagig. If it's mezid, it's not called Me'ilah. When the Torah calls something Me'ilah, it means one did something to Hegdish b'shegig, not realizing it was Hegdish. One of two ways can be Me'ilah. Either he has pleasure from it, that's Me'ilah, or he gives it to somebody. He transfers it out of his rishus. Those are the two ways to commit Me'ilah. B'shegig. Only b'shegig. What happens is, when one does Me'ilah, the item becomes chulin. Now, we're only going to discuss one of the two now, which means, if Reuven gives it to Shimon, not knowing it was Hegdish, Shimon also didn't know it was Hegdish, the item becomes Shimon's, it's now chulin, and Reuven committed Me'ilah. Me'ilah makes it chulin. That is the default shita in Shas. However, if Reuven did it b'mezid, he did not commit Me'ilah. He did a worse aveira than that. For that he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim. But the item remains hegdish. I'm not finished yet. One second, let me finish. This is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And this is the way the Gemara assumes throughout Shas. Rabbi Meir says that b'mezid the thing becomes chulin. Now, b'shegig what Rabbi Meir says will be discussed in the Gemara. But b'meizid, Remeir says, even though there's no meila, you taking hegdish and giving it to Shimon b'meizid makes it chulin. That's Remeir Shita. Argues on what everybody assumes usually in the Gemara, because the Gemara always goes with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But that's Remeir's opinion. Let's go here to Kedushin. A man walks over to the woman and gives her hegdish b'meizid. A table of hegdish b'meizid. Not a carbon, benekabayis. He gives it to her b'meizid. The halacha is, according to her mayor, she's mukadesha. The item became the woman's. He gave her something worth money. It is now kulin. It's her table because he gave it to her. He's chayim mitzvah b'dei shemayim. She's mukadesha to him. B'shayig like Yiddish, and the Gemara is going to have to explain why. Rabbi Yehuda says, exact opposite. But made that it remains hegdish. He didn't give her a thing. B'shayig, it turns into chulin. So he gave her a table. She says, Mekudeshes. So let me just read the Mishnah inside. Well, b'hegdish, b'meizit kiddish, whose Remeir Shita is, that when one gives hegdish b'meizit, it turns into chulin. Therefore, he gave her a table. B'shayig like kiddish. And that's going to be the Gemara's question. Why? Isn't shaking Me'ila? Doesn't Me'ila go out to Chulin? The Gemara is going to ask that question. We'll leave it for the Gemara. Devar Emeir. Rabbi Hudaimer, the opposite. B'shaking Kiddush, because it turned into Chulin. But made it like Kiddush, because it remained Hegdish, so you didn't give the lady anything. Yes, Doctor?
Just to extend what I was saying earlier, as far as Rabbi Huda, Shimon, Reuven gives hegdish to Shimon.
B'shagig. B'mezid remains hegdish.
So, and Shimon serves dinner on it.
So he's a shagig. He committed milah.
So he owes.
Correct.
Okay.
Reuven's chai b'shagig with Eshemayim.
Right.
He's in worse shape.
When does it get transferred to the ownership?
When he hands it to her. I got a table. Okay, table's hard to pick up. Let's say it's...
In other words, it doesn't have to be his to make it
Kedusha. Well, he gave it to her. He turned it into Chulim by giving it to her. So you're getting into the mechanics. Right? Okay. Rashi. The Rashi b'chelko shecholakim ochav ha-kehanim. Chelko means his share that he got with his brothers, the Kahanim. Maisha Shady, the Ksavar Rameir, Maisha Maman Gavoyahu, Maisha belongs to Hashem. If you don't have a Bemazid Kiddush, the Maisha Maman Hejitu, Maisha belongs to you. The Shaggy Gloy Kiddush, the Gemara Mepharish, the Gemara will explain. The Hegdish, Tamayu, Mepharish, the Gemara, the Gemara will explain the reason for both of them by Hegdish.
Even applies if the
Kohen
is doing it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It doesn't matter if Paul...
Again, you seem to be very bothered by this. I don't mean it in a bad way. You repeated the question four times in the last 2 days, which is fine. A Kohen does not own the Kachi. Again, it's a very valid question that you're asking. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, Kohanim eat chatas, but it's not theirs. It's my meat, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, that I let a Kohen eat. He has no ownership over it. Doesn't belong to him.
And Shlomim by a Baal?
It's a Machlekes Rishayim, Rashi Shita is, it's the same. And we're going to be learning Rashi, so it's the same. In Baba Kama, I believe on Yudbeis Amud Beis, or maybe Yud Aleph Amud Beis, I think it's Yudbeis Amud Beis, there's a Machlekes Rishayim about Shlomim. So I think my right to name him, my sister, the Lord, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili. Our Mishnah that identifies a carbon is not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Because notice the Mishnah said, Kachim Kedoshim and Kachim Kalim. That means the Mishnah does not treat the Shlomim any different than the Chatas. Rabbi Yisrael Glili says, Kachim Kalim belongs to the owner. If a guy donates an animal as a Shlomim, he is considered the owner of the animal. The ones who argue Rabbi Yitzhak Lili say, the minute he donated it to a shlomim, it belongs to Hegdish. It is the carbon. Now it's Hashem's animal. He gets credit for bringing the carbon, but it's not his anymore. Now, what nafkamina is there? The one they talk about is Shvua. The halacha is, one swears when they have a question of money with their friend, right? They have to swear. And if they swear falsely, they have to bring an asham and pay the keren and a chaimish. So if Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon and Reuven swears that he doesn't, he then has to pay Shimon the principal and a 25% surcharge for swearing falsely, and bring a carbon. How about if he swears about a carbon? He swears that this is not a carbon. What happens then? So is a machlokes. The Beisiyah clearly says kachim kalim is considered the owner's money, which means Shimon has a carbon, Reuven stole it. Shimon comes to him and says, "You have my carbon," and Reuven swears he doesn't. Now, it's not if it's not Shimon's money, it's Hashem's money. There's no halacha of carbon. Carbon is only the kichesh ba'misai, when you swear falsely to your friend. If it doesn't belong to your friend, there's no carbon. Dr. Beisiyah Glili, kachim kalim belongs to Shimon. So therefore, if Reuven swears he didn't steal it, it belongs to who? He has to pay a chaimish and a shvuah. That's halach. So Rabbi Yitzchak Glili is of the opinion that kachim kalim is considered privately owned. Our Mishnah says kachim kalim belongs to Hashem, and He invites you to eat at His table. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yitzchak Glili. So the Gemara name of Masnis is like Rabbi Yitzchak Glili. The Tanya. It says in the pasuk Malam Malam Hashem V'Kichesh V'Misai. So Rabbi Yitzchak Glili says that something can be owned by the friend even though it goes to Hashem. The rabbi is kachim kalim shehemamainai. The kachim kalim is considered privately owned, and a false shvua about a carbon would require a carbon shvua if he admits that he swore falsely. So we, in our Mishnah, said it doesn't belong to him. Rabbi Yitzchak really says kachim kalim does belong to him. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Glili only said it while the animal's alive. It belongs to the owner. But once he brings it and they start doing the Avedis HaKarbonis, they start bringing the carbon, like, it doesn't belong to the owner anymore. My time up. They're acquiring it from that Kodesh Baruch Hu's table. Meaning, once you bring it and start checking it, Hashem owns it. The argument between Rabbi Yitzchak Glili and the others is who owns it till you bring it to Yerushalayim. Once it's in the hands of the Kayan who checks it, it belongs to Hashem, and if you eat it, you're an invited guest at His table. That's what our Mishnah said. Which means after it checked it already. Is a riot our answer that there's a difference between pre-shchita and post-shchita? Rashi. Bashem l'rabbis kachim kalim. Dr. Rashi l'schai v'alem korban shvua. Avagam d'ein ishboa malakdeshes. There's no shvua about hegdish. V'anish v'alem v'hoi d'einem maybe yashim shvua sapakadin. And one who does swear about hegdish and then admits that he swear falsely does not have to bring a korban. The kichesh v'amisai ksiv. Says kichesh v'amisai. Hani is Rabbi Lumi Bashem Bekichesh Ramitzai. The juxtaposition of the word Bashem right before Bekichesh Ramitzai, Rabbi Yitzchak really says, "Nami Karina Behu." It's also called Ramitzai Vishema Maynai. Kikas Achu Ben Kahana Bechaz V'Shaik Ben Bailum Bebaser. That's the Rashi I was referring to. Meshulcha Gavaya Hakrovas Emurim Zvikas Hadam Matir Habaser. It's after you do the burning of the Emurim and the Zvika of the Dam. In the other order, it's matter the baser. Mekadesh b'chok lachas b'chokum. After they split it, that's what the Mishnah said. The mekronia mekadesh b'kachim kalim. The Mishnah didn't say you were mekadesh by giving her your shlomim. Enochinami, if you give her your living shlomim, you own it and you gave her something. Mashen kein, we're talking about it was already shechted and they already did the zrika. Now you have the meat. It's not your meat. It's shochan gavaya. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
So why would it switch? When it's alive, it belongs to the owner. But you made it hektish. So you made it hektish, that means it's yours, but it's hektish. But it's, so it's
yours with an obligation to bring it as a carbon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, technically, Kachim Kalim belongs to you with an obligation to bring it as a carbon.
After you shecht it,
it becomes Hashem's. Parts go on the Mizbeach. Now the carbon has been accepted by Hashem, and it is no longer yours. The carbon belongs to Hashem, and he says, graciously invites you to eat by his table.
So when it's alive, it doesn't belong to Hashem?
No, it doesn't. Well, it has an obligation to bring it to Hashem. Call that what you want. But you're an owner.
Does he have to replace it if he eats some kaddish, a lady with it alive?
Depends if it was a nether or a nedava.
The fact that the
Kachim
Kalam are Neholi,
the Shem, Lavim, Lavim. It means nothing. They're also invited. They're invited guests.
Only wives that were there prior to this Shechita or whatever.
No.
You can't make a wife. You can't be Mekadosh.
But it's not yours.
You can't be Mezakar to eat it.
You can.
You can't be Mezakar old lady to eat it, make Kedusha like that.
Not Kedusha, but you invite her to your meal. You invite her to your Shabbos meal where you're serving Shlomim and you're Shlomim. That's what Titus says. Why isn't that a Kedusha? That was Titus' discussion. You're giving her a service. So Titus says you can't charge for that service and therefore it's not considered money.
So it's not his.
Correct. By the way, as an aside, just because I want to say this, the Netziv in his Haggadah approaches the Seder night as Meshuchan Gavaya Kazach. His whole approach to Seder night is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was inviting you to his table. Even though we don't have a Pesach anymore, but he holds that since the meal was centered around the Korban Pesach, the whole meal became HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, on Pesach night, I invite you to my table to eat. There's a whole shtickle that even our matzah and our maror and whatever else we do on the Pesach night, we're eating at the Rabbi Nishlam's table. It's not a halachic consequence. It's his approach to understanding what we're doing on Seder night when we sit down and eat.
You have to be manui to the Pesach. You can't come.
So again, you're invited to that Pesach. Again, once it's checked in, it belongs to Hashem, and you're invited to his table. And he holds, all he's trying to say is, it's a more hashkafa than halacha. He's not saying halacha. He's saying when you approach Seder night, you sit down by the Seder table, be aware that this is the Rabbi Nishlam's table that he's inviting you to. And not halachically, the matzah belongs to you, and the mara belongs to you, and the gnedlach for those who eat the brachos belong to you. What he's saying is, the idea of a Seder is a Shochan Gavoyah Kazach. Again, that's Kafa Shabbai, not the Halacha Shabbai.
Rabbi?
Yes.
This is just still a little slippery for me. About the Shochan Gavoyah, post-Shechita, if someone gives me something, I'm sitting at their table literally, I'm a guest in someone's home, and they graciously give me a piece of meat and they put it on my plate and I cut it up and at some point I put it in my mouth, at some point it's going to belong to me. At some point it's going to be mine. They can't pry my mouth open and they can't do the Heimlich maneuver and take it back because it's theirs. At some point, post-Shechita, it just...
This is a major shaila. When I invite somebody to my Seder and I give him matzah, is it his matzah? He has to eat his matzah to be yaitzeh to the mitzvah. Or am I letting him eat my matzah? Does it ever become his? Sometimes you let somebody use your item. Now you're letting somebody destroy your item.
Consume it.
But it's your item. Or the fact you're letting him consume it means you're giving it to him as a gift. Now, by matzah, that's a question. And by the piece of meat, when you're invited, it's the same question. When I invite somebody and I give him chont on Shabbos, am I giving him the chont and now it's his? Or am I allowing him to consume my chont? That makes no difference. It gives him heartburn either way. That's not the point. That's not the point. But I touch him, it's not his at any point. Hashem is letting him consume Hashem's meat. See, your understanding is correct by other things. It's an argument, by the way. It's a big shayla by matzah, right? I have my children around the table, adult children, and I give them matzah. It has to belong to them. Do they have to realize that they're acquiring the matzah? Or is it assumed that they're acquiring the matzah? Or maybe they're not even acquiring it if they don't think to acquire it. This is a big shayla, and that price can deal with it. I'm not getting involved in that. That's good for Seder Night Torah. That's great. Now we're talking about Kachim. Kachim belongs to Hashem, and he never gives it to the Kayan. He allows the Kayan to eat, consume his item. But it always remains his item.
Always.
That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the Gemara writer. Tana Rabbana. L'achah b'tirashah Rameir, after Rameir passed away. Amalam Rabbi Yehuda l'tamidav. Rabbi Yehuda told his students, Ayichnasu tamid Rameir l'kan. I don't want Rameir's students to come in here. I'm not interested in them joining my yeshiva. Neshekan tronim heim, they are arguers. It means Rameir had a different way of learning than Rabbi Yehuda did. And his Tamidim adopted Rameir's way, which is unbelievable, great for Rameir and for his Tamidim. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want that in his yeshiva. But loy lumad heim bo, tayre heim boim, they're not coming to learn from me. They're coming to argue with me, meaning they will be questioning everything I say and arguing about it. That's not how I approach learning. That's not my mahalach. In my yeshiva, we do it differently. We don't have constant whatever. Again, I'm talking about tanoim, and I have to watch my mouth, and I don't mean anything. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Their way of learning is great, but not for me. I don't need it in my yeshiva. I have a different way of learning. I'm complaining about lachas. They're going to argue with me, try to slug me up. They're going to try to prove Rameir right and me wrong. I'm not interested in that now. Dachik Sumchas Renichnas. One of Rameir's Tamidim was Sumchas, and he came into the yeshiva. He got in. After Rameir requested that his Tamidim not let Rameir's Tamidim in, Sumchas got in. Amar Lehem, so he says to Yehuda, Kach Shonali Rameir, HaMekadosh Bechel Kamein Kachim Kadoshim Ben Kachim Kalim Lo Kiddush. As we will learn soon, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you own the Kachim. He disagrees with Rameir. He disagrees that it's Meshochen Gevayek Kazachu. He says, you are the owner of the Chelik of Kachim you get. So Rabbi Simcha said, well, Rameir said not like you. Cost Rabbi Yehuda Aleihem. Rabbi Yehuda got angry at his students. Didn't I tell you don't let Rameir's students come in here? Because they are arguers. They're not coming to learn. Now he said the following line, and this is the big machloikas achrayim, what he meant. But I'm not going to explain the machloikas achrayim until after I do the next five lines in Gemara. This question is not practical anyway. What's a woman doing in the Azara?
A single woman.
Any woman.
Other wives?
Not in the Azara.
He takes it home.
He can't take chatas home, shlomim, he takes home. He yushalayim. What's a woman doing in the Azara? This is not a practical question. I'm Rabbi Yaisi. So Rabbi Yaisi reacted. He wasn't there. He heard the story. He heard that Simchas asked the question. Rabbi Yehuda got angry. The Gemara says he got angry. And he said, see? They come to argue. It's not practical, this question. So Rabbi Yaisi said, Yom Rameir Shachav. People will say Rameir died. Yehuda cost. Rabbi Yehuda got angry. And Yaisi Shasak, and I didn't respond. Divrei Torah, Ma Torah. What's going to happen with the truth? What's going to happen with Torah? Let's say a woman's not there, but a father can accept Kedushin for his daughter. So isn't it a practical question whether he can be Mekadosh with Chalkai? Can a woman ask a man to be her agent? What, no woman ever walks in? It's not common for women to be in there, but they can walk in. So therefore he disputes Rabbi Yehuda's answer. You don't need the woman to be the Azara. Now, the question is, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean? He couldn't think of these things? So the Mashal says, Rabbi Yehuda got angry, and when people get angry, they make mistakes. Based on the Gemara Masechta, Bolak Lakas, Bolak Lakas. That's the Mashah, not Yitzchak Margaretin. That's what the Mashah says. Peshua says no. Peshua says, Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say, they're not going to ask me practical questions. They're going to ask me a Hakmi a Chaynik. They ask me questions that are not Negeya. Here comes Sumchus. Here's the question. It's whatever the allowance of a woman to be there or a shliach to be there, it is not common that Kedushin happen in the Azara. So why is Sumchus coming and arguing with me if the cases are not a common case to begin with? And I would let him ask me halacha lemaisa questions. But it's not halacha lemaisa, and I'm not interested in having people come in here and argue with me things that are not negayim practically. I said I don't want Rameir Samidim here, but they're going to argue with me. Now, if he has a halacha lemaisa question, I'll answer him. This is not halacha lemaisa. That's how the Pnei Yeshua learns why Rabbi Yehuda didn't say those. He understood their answers. But it's not what happens. So therefore, why are you asking me this question? Stop to argue with me.
Yeah, but I thought the whole thing is...
So that's why he said, V'chisha bazar minayin. Like, is this practical? So why are you here asking me this? Halakha l'maisa questions, I'll accept. Not halakha l'maisa, I'm not interested in arguing with you.
Rabbi said for the past 20 years, the cases that we break down are... crazy, not crazy, far out places to see
at
what
the border
parameters they are, right? So that's what we're the,
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want to argue with Ramirez Tamina. So if Ramirez Tamina would have gotten in and asked him halacha lemaisa question, he wouldn't have gotten angry. He has a right to know halacha lemaisa. But he's asking me a lumdisha question, things that aren't negeya, but are good when you learn to know the parameters, right? I'm not interested in Ramirez Tamina coming and questioning me. So B'chiyisha Bazar Minayin, according to the Bnei Yeshua, is not that Rabbi Yehuda did not realize that there could be cases. What he was saying is, it's not halacha l'maisa. He has no business being here asking me this question. I don't want to argue with Rabbi Meir Tamidim. I have a different way of learning. I'm not interested in getting involved. That's why he said B'chiyisha Bazar Minayin. He didn't mean to say it could never happen. He meant to say it's not a halacha l'maisa. Because you could learn the words differently. So he said, you know, it's not like it can't happen. That's how the Pnei Yeshua learns. The Mashal learns, Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Again, that's not Yitzchak Margaret, and he would never dare say that. The Mashal is allowed to say that. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Kantronim Maknitim, they argue, the anger. The Kapchenikim and the Kapecha Sherkov cut off his legs. The Katas Raglenu Balochas, they're trying to cut off our legs and our lochas. The idea Shem Harifim, to inform us they're sharper than we are. They don't even connect them when we can't respond. Because that was Rameir was much sharper. Rameir was in a different way of learning Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rameir's Talmidim adopted that way, which didn't fit with Rabbi Yehuda's way of running his yeshiva. Chiyisha Bazar Minayin, the 20 Kutcha Kutcha, Barmitzim Chutz Lazara, for little Ezra's Nashim. Even if you take it out to the Ezra's Nashim, Heim Nifsalim Beyaitse. Nashim Ein Nifnasasla. Women aren't allowed to go in, because I'm always at Tumas Vipere Kabin Mesechtes Kalim, which Tysus disputes. It says it never says there a woman can't go in. They don't usually go in, but Taisa says some women have to go in. A Saita has to go in, and a Zira has to go in. And women could go in, but Rashi seems to quote a Mishnah that women can't go in. Taisa says there's no Mishnah that says it beferish.
So we're saying now that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that Talmidim are just coming in there just to show...
That their Rebbe's way of learning was better.
No, and then... The Torah is just to fight.
No, they argue with Rabbi Yehuda to prove that their Rebbe's way of learning is better. He learned in a different way. Rashi, Levitek Tana Nara, Dachka Benichnas and Malvik. Le Tzachnu Lishu BeBeis Medrash Ma Yoyim Rum Kitchim Kedushin Meim Lav. Don't we have to know if it happened, whether it's Kedushin or not? So that's the Machlokes of Man Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara will bring the sources for it as we go along. Yes, Doctor?
If I recall correctly, anytime there's Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we go with Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
And one time my son told me that I said to him, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was quoted more than anyone else. He corrected me, and he said, Rabbi Yehuda, although I don't know if that's the Tana or the Amora. So he's, on the other hand, the Rambam criticizes Moshe Rabbeinu Olshol for getting angry.
Mar says, Bolakalkas, Bolakalkas.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just the Marashah.
Nobody denies that Bolakalkas is a reality. The question is that what happened here or not? That's all. That doesn't mean every time a guy gets angry, he forgets something. All it's saying is, anger can cause people to forget things. When Rabbi Yehuda didn't say Rabbi Yaisi's three possibilities, was it that he didn't think of them, Or is it because he wasn't interested in them because he was trying to get a point across? I'm not interested in fighting about Remeir's things, about things that are not practical. Mashal learns one way, and Bnei Shua learns another way.
But we've got a Maisa Shehoyah here, which is that he did not say that. And the Gemara says he became angry, which is completely irrelevant, unless that plays a role in...
That's one way of learning. I'm not going to argue with you because Mashal says it. But I think it's very possible to say he got angry with the Gemara trying to tell us because he had demanded that they not come in. And he got in. He was upset that the Talmidim let the Sukkahs in.
I mean, I can tell you.
I don't know why you feel necessary to pick sides between the Mashal and the Bnei Shua. They're both learning different parts of the Gemara. And to me, they're both Tyra, Maisha, and Sinai. Both have a way of learning. And I accept them both as equal possibilities. I don't try to pick sides. Especially this. It's not like Halacha L'Maisa. Between the Mashal and the Bnei Shua. One wants to learn one way, one wants to learn the other way. And both are feasible ways to learn the Gemara.
I have nothing but the greatest respect for both Marsha and Bnei.
Okay, so then therefore, it's not, shouldn't argue the Bnei Shua. We also learned the Gemara cost of Yehuda. And he's saying he got angry because he didn't want Simchas in there.
I also have great respect for Kiva and but Marpana comes out wrong.
Again. I think we're arguing. It's not against us. Yes.
Anybody make a little bit of a drush here? That the same way Simchus is dachak and nichnas, he says a woman can be dachak and nichnas. He's telling you, you don't belong.
They left that for you. They left that for you.
Woman doesn't belong here. You don't belong in my yeshiva.
They left that for you. It's not true, but Reb Yaitzi is the one that said dachak and nichnas, not Reb Yehuda.
Far in for you, like explaining what he was saying.
Again, I didn't see anybody say it. You want to write it, just be. It can be your stickle tyra.
Okay.
Is that the unusual part of the case where the woman comes in versus a libito?
No different. All Rabbi Yaisi was saying is I have three possibilities that the shayla is practical.
So why did they not accept it? In other words, on one hand, it's almost theoretical, but it's not theoretical.
Exactly. So why didn't Rabbi Yehuda think of this? So Rabbi Shah says he forgot. He didn't think of it. And Rabbi Yeshua says he didn't think of it as a practical question, and he wasn't interested in arguing with Rabbi Meir's Talmidim about things that don't happen on a regular basis.
He could have also said a woman, a shliach for a woman.
The Gemara says that case. Three cases.
The shliach for a woman?
Yeah.
Anytime anyone gets emotional, their brain shuts down. I'll go.
Again, I still fail to see why you feel it's necessary to decide with one over the other. But if that makes you happy, good day.
No, the person who's saying is Reb Yossi. And as if Gemara sees fit to praise someone, that he is always right because he carries his reasoning with him, which I would say he carries his rational mind with him. I would say that's...
Again. I'm not even going to get involved in this argument. To me, the Bnei Shua makes perfect sense in this Gemara if you want to learn that way. It also answers a lot of other problems. Why does he care if the Talmidei Remeir come in here? So the Bnei Shua is saying he doesn't mind practical questions, just doesn't want to get involved in non-practical questions with them because they fight and argue, and that's not his Derech HaLimud. Not his style. That's the Gemara right. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mekudeshes. Yehuda says the Mekadesh Mechelker is Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Eimer Mekudeshes. I'm Rabbi Yehuda the same Mekoyach Adarshu. They both learned it out from the same Pasuk. Zeh Yeh Lechom Mekadesh HaKadoshim. Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron that this is yours from the Kadesh HaKadoshim, Min HaEsh, from the fire. Rabbi Yehuda Sever, Lecha, the word Lecha means Lecha Tzarchecha. It belongs to you. That's what the word Lecha says. Lecha. This will be yours. Therefore, you are the owner of it, and therefore you are the Mekadesh Bechalke, would be Mekadeshes. Rabbi Yaisi Sever, Keish. The Torah says, Min HaEsh. The Torah comparing the Chelik of the Kayan to the Chelik of the fire. Ma'esh La'achila, the fire only consumes, doesn't own it. Afunami La'achila, Lecha means you have a right to eat it. Carbon. The Zah Yeh Lecha Mikodesh HaKadoshim.
We're not talking about
Medek Abayis is at the end of the Mishnah. The Kaddish Bechelko is not Medek Abayis.
The Kaddish Bechelko, no one argues.
In the Mishnah, no one argues. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda argues. In the Mishnah, it was Remeir. Remeir was the author of this Mishnah.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda argues.
Well, he becomes butcher after it's Nisra.
No.
You can eat it right away.
No, you're not allowed to eat it until after there's restrictions. You can't eat it before Zrika either.
Because of
the Kelsey? Maybe not. Rashi, the culture of Kelsey, the 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 fire doesn't own it, it has a right to consume it. I've claimed Lachila, below the Lavarach. So we have a Machloikus, Remeir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Whether the Chelikachim belongs to the owner, did Hashem give it to the owner? Or did Hashem say it's mine and you can eat it? That's a Machloikus, Remeir, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is on Remeir's side. Dr. Gabar Weiter. I'm Rabbi Yechelen. Nimnu v'gamru, ha-mekalish v'chelkoi ben kachim kadoshim ben kachim kalim loy kiddush. They took a vote, and they voted like Remeir, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, accepted it. That's how Rabbi Yechim is saying. Rashi, Nimnu v'gamru, Amdu l'minyan, they took a vote, v'rabu o'im rem einem u'kadeshes, u'batlu ha'mu'atim, the minority is batu, v'chazru behem, and they changed their minds. That doesn't always happen by a vote. Rabbi Yechon is saying over here, they changed their mind. The Gomru Loi made the Mukadeshes, and everybody walks out saying, God look, there's ain't the Mukadeshes. Even Rabbi Yehuda. Even though Rabbi Yehuda originally held she was Mukadeshes, after the vote was taken, he changed his mind. Doesn't always happen, but Rabbi Yechon is telling me it happened over here. Dr. Gemara, Rav Amar Adai Di Machloikas. And Rav says, not true. Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. And he sticks to his guns, the Mekadesh Bechokah is Mukadeshes. Rashi, Adayni Machloikus, Loyam Dulaminyan, Loy Chazda by Rabbi Yehuda. I disagree, it never happened. Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Rav lived after Rabbi Yehuda, after a mayor, after Rabbi Yaisi, two generations later. And they're arguing, what happened two generations ago? Did they take a vote in Rabbi Yehuda to change his mind? Or did he not take a vote in Rabbi Yehuda to change his mind?
You can take the vote, but the vote was taken. The question was...
That's not what Rashi says. See, I would have said that, but Rashi doesn't. Rashi says, Rav says, Loi amdu l'minyan.
Didn't even vote about
it. That's what Rashi says. Now, you could say that maybe Rashi holds, and again, this is going to be questionable and arguable, and that once you vote, it goes that way, everybody has to accept the vote.
That's a problem.
Could be that's what Rashi's telling you.
Certainly you're not making a comparison, are you?
But that could be what Rashi's saying. That Rob agrees, had they voted, Judah would have had to accept it. But they never voted. But I didn't want to get involved in that. So I said, leave that alone. Don't think about Rabbi Kavas and Rabbi Echim Mistabra.
If you had a vote, even if it doesn't matter what, even if you keep your opinion, that doesn't matter, right? Your opinion's worthless, right? No, let's say Bez did. Forget about it. Oh, sorry. Don't forget about it. But
I'll tell you why. I understand you. I'm not arguing what you're saying. Except that the Gemara is going to say, Abai is now going to bring a brice and prove that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. That's what he's going to prove. If the question was whether they voted or not, and whether Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind is immaterial, then why is Abai bringing this brice and prove that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind? Therefore, Rashi explains that obviously the question here is, did Rabbi Yehuda change his mind? Now, the reason he would change his mind is because of the vote. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. Because the Gemara is now going to bring a whole brisa, a half an amud, to prove that Yehuda changed his mind. Now, if you're right, the Gemara wouldn't get involved with Yehuda changed his mind, not Negeya. Abaye says, Rabbi Yechon is right because I can prove to you that Yehuda changed his mind.
By a psak.
By psak, the miyat is nothing.
I'm sorry?
Miyat doesn't count.
To the people that lost have to give in?
No, yes and no, meaning like this. They have an argument. Do they owe Shimon money or not? There's three dayanim, two vote he owes him, one vote he doesn't owe him. The Pesach Bezin says, we as a Bezin decided that Reuven owes Shimon money.
Right.
So?
No. So,
but then the guy has to give in or not, he's going to tell you who cares. He signs that he agrees to the Pesach. He's part of the agreement to the Pesach. He's buttle. He's buttle.
Another case comes to him and asks, what is your Pesach?
He's not allowed to say they arguably are the two. That's Lashon Hara. He's not allowed to say I disagreed, but I was outvoted. He's not allowed to say it. Chavetz Chaim. Because Lashon Hara, because the guy that lost will say, see, I had somebody on my side and they were right and the Bezin made a mistake, it will start all kinds of things. Vereshul Chavetz Chaim. And Shvei Saloshin. The Gemara is an Edrin, but the Chavetz Chaim brings it La'aloch. Yes, Doctor.
I would take exception to one thing earlier, that it's not logically necessary that they have a vote for Rabbi Yehuda to change his mind. He has power to change his mind, as we've seen numerous times tonight.
Again, I'm not arguing that. I'm reading a Gemara. No, the Gemara says, Nimnu the Gamru.
And then Rashi explains that Rav's saying that they didn't vote. And so that would be, in any case,
which means
Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind.
No, because Rav said, I died in Himachlaikas. Dr. Gemara Baiter, Amar Abaye, Kavasa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yechel, and Mestabra, the Tanya. Now we're going to have a long brisa here. The thrust of this brisa, and the brisa is going to speak it out in 20 different ways, is that when they split Kachim at night, let me explain. Kahanim were split into 24 groups, 24 Mishmaras, and each Kohen came up once every 24 weeks to do his Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kahanim that came, let's say, Parshas Noach, the Mishmar of Parshas Noach, were split into six or seven groups, the Tzemachlekes. They were called Batei Av. Some learned there were six of them, Sunday through Friday. Some learned that Shabbos also had its own Batei Av. Tzemachlekes. So the Mishmar itself was split into six or seven. On Sunday, the Sunday Beis Av did the Avayit in the Beis HaMikdash. The other groups were not involved. They were on reserve duty. In case needed, they would be called to help. If not, they didn't do any Avayit that day. The only Kahanim that did Avayit that day were the ones that belonged to the Beis Av, Sunday's Beis Av. On Monday, Monday's Beis Av came in. Sunday's Beis Av didn't have to do work the rest of the week, maybe Shabbos. The machloikis of six or seven. Is the machloikis whether the Shabbos had its own Beis Av or not. But Sunday through Friday, each one. So really, a Kayan usually worked one day every 24 weeks. He was there a whole week. He had to be available all week. But there was one day he was on active duty. Either Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe Shabbos again, it's the machloikis. Now, at night, the Beis Av got together. They worked all day. They brought a bunch of shlomims and a bunch of chatases and ashams and minchas and birds as karbanas. And there was a lot of kachim now to eat. The Beis Av got together after the Tamid Shobein Arbaim, after the Avodas were finished, and they split up the karbanas to eat it. And most of them, the Kachi Kedoshim part, had to be eaten that night, before the morning. The Kachim Kalim, they sometimes had an extra day. The Kachim Kalim would be the Chaz of Ishaik they received from everybody's Shlomim. The thrust of this brisa is, every carbon has to be split to every member of the Beis Av. You cannot say here, okay, Rabbi Sai, we have 20 Chazes and 20 Shaiks. Let's split it up five, let's say there's 100 in the Beis Av. Five of you go to each chazab, and five of you go to each sheik. That way it's beautiful. No. Every chazab is split 100 ways. Every sheik is split 100 ways. Every chatas is split 100 ways. Every ashram is split 100 ways. No trading and bartering. No, let's get together and make this a simple matter. There's 20 chatas. Let's five of us take one chatas and forget about it. And we'll split it each chatas. No. Every chatas, 100 ways. Every asham, 100 ways. That's how they split it up. And that's going to be derived from Sukkim. We have long brisa, but the bottom line of the brisa is that halacha. No trading. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. You can't trade when it doesn't belong to you. It's Hashem's carbon. He said you have a right to eat, not to trade. And the one who wrote that brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. That means he changed his mind. We'll talk about it more tomorrow.